the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Happy New Year. We have turned the page. It's 2017. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Jill Sakovitz. We have Cubs pitcher Rob Zestrzejny, who is on his way to Arizona for spring training, but he made a teeny tiny pit stop before heading there to Washington, D.C. To visit the White House as a world champion. And Rob, I know you get this a lot, but man, what is it like to be able to tell people that you've done something like this and had this experience?
A lot of people the last 2 months have asked me how it feels or what was it like in the stadium or how did it feel holding up the trophy and stuff. And, you know, I just realized how hard it is to, like, explain something like that. I've tried so hard. I've tried to put it in words. But basically for me, it was a dream come true. And doing all this stuff, like being a part of that team and going to the White House and going to Cubs convention and seeing how excited all the fans were for the next season coming up and everything, is it's hard to put into words, but it's definitely the – I'm the luckiest kid in the world to be a part of it.
And so we have a tweet here that you put out, and you said in 2013 that you want to help the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. That would be a dream come true. So you literally fulfilled your own prophecy.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, especially because in 2013 we didn't have that big of a mental strength program. I mean, we had a couple guys that helped us out. And then I think in 2014 was the first year the Cubs really bought into that. And the big thing they stress on us is, like, say things and they will come true. Like, if you put them out loud, you will be able to achieve them, and you will work harder to achieve these things because you've said it out loud. And Conor McGregor does it all the time in his fights and stuff, and that's kind of the example they showed us. And so it ended up, like, in 2013 I had done that, and it ended up happening, and our mental strength guy called me after I tweeted that and was like, dude, I told you, and we kind of had a good laugh about it.
That's amazing.
That's so nice. So what are you going to focus on for this next year? What is your prophecy?
I don't have a prophecy yet. I'm sure I'll get it during this drive because I have so much free time to think of something. But right now I just kind of want to be a part of the Chicago Cubs. I mean, a lot of people try and play it cool that they've been in the big leagues and stuff and like, oh, no big deal, but I just can't. Like, I think it's too cool, and I act like a little kid every day I'm at the field, and I just don't want to be anywhere else but in Chicago or wherever with the Cubs, and that's something I want to do this year, spend a lot of time in Chicago and with the team.
I mean, you and your whole team, you got to go do something that just seems really incredible to me, is you got to go to the White House and meet Barack and Michelle Obama. What was it like to be in D.C.? What was the coolest thing you saw in the White House? I'm a big nerd, so, like, I love things like that.
The coolest thing for me was just being in the same room as Barack Obama and his wife and having them talk to us, because he was talking to us about how, like, he loves Chicago and he's proud of us for Chicago. You know, he's not really a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan. And I was like, that's cool. And then Michelle spoke up and was like, you know, I used to watch Cubs games with my dad, and that's kind of how we bonded. And he loved sports so much, and he loved you guys. And, like, Barack hearing that was, like, kind of had a tear come to his eye. Like, they're very genuine people.
Gosh.
And just seeing, like, the President of the United States and the First Lady of the United States being so genuine with each other and us in that room, it was kind of a cool experience.
That is so great. I'm going to turn over to Jill in a second, but if you were the president, this is my question for you. If you were the president, what would your Secret Service code name be?
Oh, man, some about Hawk. I think Nighthawk or something cool.
Whoa,
like that.
That is really cool.
That's my favorite animal, so it'd have to be something to do with that.
You knew so quickly, you must have been thinking about this.
Yeah, did you tell him before?
Yeah.
So, Rob, I have to ask you, compared to other presidents, President Obama has always come across, he's to be a little bit funny, but he had some good jokes when you guys were there. Were you surprised by kind of how light and funny he is?
I really was, and I kind of watched a lot of his speeches, like, in the last 8 years just on TV and stuff, and most of the time he's talking about, like, a serious thing, and, like, the Cubs winning the World Series is obviously a serious thing, but it was, like, he came at it in such a lighthearted manner, especially, like, kind of making fun of himself, mm-hmm. being a White Sox fan, how Theo is probably more popular than he is, and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. it really humanized him, you know, like, made him or made us feel like he was like one of us, and we were all laughing on stage. And I mean, those are genuine laughs from us. Like, we were having a good time up there, and we were really surprised.
I have to ask you, because we're on the heels of what's going to be a historic inauguration. Obama's 8-year tenure comes to an end, and President Trump will step in. What was the feeling in Washington and in the White House? Did you sense it at all?
I didn't, and I thought I was going to. And I thought it was going to be something like maybe one's on their way out, the other's on their way in. But I remember even during the speech he was talking about, and I'm not sure who all the names were, he's naming off people, but honestly at the time I was kind of just blown away by the whole thing. And,
sure.
There were about 750 cameras, and I was just trying not to, like, pick my nose or something on stage. So basically he was talking about how there were people that were in Trump's, like, cabinet or – like worked with him, and they were there, and he was like talking to him, and like everything seemed very civil, and it seemed like everything was being handled with grace, and it gave me a lot of respect for both sides of it and how they were both able to be amongst each other even though they're kind of rivals.
Well, we're happy to hear that Washington is stable from Rob. Makes me feel a little bit better.
Reports from Rob. It sounds like a really new upcoming segment that we might have to implement.
Feel
on
in
show.
Washington.
Yeah.
they're all going to be pretty pretty not biased at all. I like to stay in the middle, so
us too.
Hot takes there.
That's all right. We like that. Rob, I have to ask, if you could give any tips to a president about throwing out a first pitch, what would you say to them?
I catch first pitches all the time, and the only thing I say to people is enjoy it, because no one's going to remember how bad it was unless you're historically bad.
I don't know about 50 Cent. 50 Cent might disagree with you on that one.
That advice makes me so anxious. Like, okay, no one's going to remember unless you do an awful job, so don't do an awful job.
Like, 50 Cent, you can't throw it on the other side of the batter's box. You got to get somewhere close. The guys are usually athletic enough to catch it if it bounces or whatever, but what I tell all the people is, like, that's a cool moment. Like, every time I take the mound at Wrigley, I'm like, man, this is so cool. I couldn't imagine, like, not being a baseball player and getting to do it, like, it's not like a common thing for them to be on the mound. So I was like, you know, step on top of the mound and take like a second to look around before you throw. Don't worry about the throw or you won't remember like the cheers or them announcing your name or anything. You'll be so focused on just trying to throw a strike.
Makes me happy I don't have a first pitch on my calendar.
Yeah, I feel like, Rob, I feel like that aligns really well with like the Cubs in general too, though. I feel like the whole season, all we heard was that it's day by day for you guys. I remember talking to you in St. Louis for Cardinals Cubs, and you said you're not even thinking about a postseason roster because you're just focused on how you want to do your best every day, whether you're on the mound or you're not. So it's really interesting that mantra kind of rubbed off in that way too. Everyone is talking about the Cubs. I mean, you hear it in St. Louis, you hear it across the country. And so I can imagine that, you know, the buzz is in the air for you guys as well. But, you know, how do you feel like in spring training the team will, you know, go about business and focus on, all right, we're going to do it again, right? That's the goal. We're going to win another world championship. How do you think your team's going to achieve that?
I think it starts with the way the organization was kind of brought through, like guys like Wilson and Albert and Javi and guys who played with the Cubs for a long time. Like, we were always taught to stay in the moment, and we were always taught to, you know, not look to the future or look into the past, but look into the present moment. And that's kind of the thing I think Joe's going to talk to us a bunch in spring training. He hasn't really come up with his slogan. I know he said authenticity was like the thing behind it, but he hasn't really come up with his like slogan or anything yet, like embrace the target or try not to suck or anything like that. But he always has something that gets the guys motivated and has us in the right direction all the time. And that's one thing that the Cubs have done well is, I mean, the last 4 years, look how far we've come. Like, we've been headed in the right direction for a long time, and I can't imagine that winning a World Series would deter us from keep heading in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, Rob, we wish you the best of luck this year. Definitely drive safe on your way to Arizona, despite the cell service. Hopefully it's not too bad of a drive. And we really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, it's no problem at all. I enjoy coming on and talking about it, especially with the Cubs. Like, I'm just so lucky to be a part of it. I love talking about it to everybody.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Rob. Speaking of big, great things, the Cubs went to the White House to celebrate their world championship. Amazing. But what I want to know, Trend or Trash, is this the greatest team to visit the White House while Obama's been in office?
Well, I like that they went when there was a president from Chicago in the White House, because that's nice. That's like just a lovely thing. He invited them. Michelle is a big fan. That's really great for her. But I don't want to say trash because I don't think this is trash, but I am going to trash the idea that this is the best team to ever be in the White House while Obama was also there, because, as you know, I very much like the U.S. national team, the women's national soccer team, that's and right. they went and they visited, and it was great and so much fun.
I didn't even think outside of
adorable.
Baseball.
Huh? Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, they're a lot of, but, like, I love that team, and I am happy that they got to go and hang out with Obama as well. So Jill, I think that's the coolest team to have gone there.
Well,
sorry.
It's long and it's
sorry,
impressive.
Cubs.
There's a lot. So let me listen to you before, before you decide what yours is. So Jimmy Johnson went, the 2009 Tar Heels, Alabama football, obviously, the Patriots, the Red Sox. The Blackhawks went a couple of times themselves. Sky Blue FC.
Shout
don't
out
forget.
To them. Like
Steelers,
them.
Penguins, yeah. Lakers, UConn women's basketball, the Royals, the Phillies.
For a historical factor, we're on the heels of a historical inauguration. I'm going trend on this one because I really loved how Obama is from Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cubs, I don't even know if they were invited to the White House in 1908, but it had been so long. And Obama, maybe he's feeling a little more relaxed. I don't know, but, like, his jokes were better than ever. He told them, it's been taking you guys long enough. I loved it, so I'm going trend on that.
I think I'm going to have to agree. I think it's impressive that the Blackhawks have been there so many times and that, you know, other teams, Alabama football, have had their fair share of visits. But I just think in the big scheme of things, and not to knock anyone else, this is just unprecedented. And the fact that he is from Chicago, despite being a White Sox fan,
right.
Theo Epstein did give him a midnight pardon for that. Michelle Obama is a Cubs fan.
Theo
so.
Wasn't fazed at all. He was talking to the president of the United States.
That's right.
Yeah, and he didn't go the last time when the Red Sox went because he had some thing, so he wasn't there.
Something,
but, yeah,
whatever.
Whatever. Anyway, this is like the second coolest thing to me, just in terms of teams that I personally like. So I do think it is a very exciting thing.
So like half trend.
Half trend, half trash.
That's fair. Yes. It's always cool. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're talking about the business side of college athletics. So a little bit of backstory. So there's a kid. His name is Ryan Dickens. He gives this verbal commitment to UConn to play football. And in the 11th hour, UConn's like, sorry, actually, we're revoking that. We are not giving you a scholarship. The kid reportedly had already taken every offer off the table. Mm-hmm. So he's left high and dry. So there's a couple of things here. And so we kind of saw the business side when Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette decided to skip their bowl games for various reasons. One big one is they wanted to remain healthy for the NFL draft, which is fair and valid. But now we're looking at this kid who has a bright future ahead. He sounded like he had high honors. He's a smart kid. So his not only is his sports scholarship taken away, his education as well at UConn being taken away, which are, you know, those are pretty big deals. You're a student athlete. So trend or trash, the idea, is this right? And are college athletics a business? And we shouldn't be surprised by what happened in this situation.
I'm going trash on this one because he's a student athlete. I mean, he's 17 or 18 years old. You're messing with his academic future. Luckily, I saw yesterday he tweeted – or that would be Tuesday, he tweeted that he's going to the University of Rhode Island. So he got another offer. Mm-hmm. He's not going to school next year, nothing like that. But still, I mean, that's a lot for a kid. Apparently he was told, quote, we're going in another direction. And I mean, I've heard that as an adult at work. And that is really not fun to kind of pull that line on a kid who's putting his academic and professional future into your school. I'm giving it big time trash.
Yeah, it's just straight up trash. Because it's not even like, even if we did treat college athletics as a complete business, it would still be trash to have somebody commit and for them to say, like, here's an offer. The offer is here for you. And then they accept it. And then you go, never mind. Like, that is a trash move in any situation.
It's a business,
you know?
But the kids aren't getting paid. Right. I mean, that's a whole nother topic.
So, and it's like, fine, if this, like, even if this was a business, that would still, like, be kind of a sneaky thing to do.
Right.
If it was business, they could dress it up with contract disputes, but obviously that's not something that happened here.
Right.
So that
I'm
makes
wondering
it
what
even
the solution
slimier,
is, though.
You know?
I definitely don't think the kid should have been treated this way. I think there's got to be a cutoff. There's got to be a timeline because you're getting so close. The signing day is so close, and he said bye to everybody else, and now he's going back and asking. Luckily, he did get another scholarship, but, I mean, what is a kid, a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, supposed to do in that situation? Trash as well for me. When it comes to all-star voting, we usually have have varying opinions on how it should be done, should it be done, what's the purpose of it, a lot of different things going on. So in the NBA, voting is wrapping up on Thursday. The All-Stars will be announced, but Joel Embiid, he is pushing for himself, which is amazing. We don't see that very often. It's very cool, but Hassan Whiteside from the Heat, he kind of has a little problem with it. He thinks it's a popularity contest, so Embiid decided he wanted to throw him a bone on social media. So he retweets Whiteside's comments, and then he gets 4,080 retweets for himself, and he gets 4,750 for Whiteside. So he's basically helping Whiteside get these All-Star votes, kind of playing around with him, which is what this is supposed to be. It's
keeping
supposed
it light.
To be fun. Yes. Yeah, so Trender trashed the idea that you shouldn't be lobbying for yourself. You're kind of like diminishing the spirit of what NBA or in general All-Star voting is supposed to be.
I mean, I trend this because this is delightful and so much fun. And the NBA is such a fun league just overall. I don't think that there's any reason to say to like hew to some purity of purpose. Like the point of this game is for fun.
Yeah.
It does not count for anything other than fun.
Yes.
Like it's just delightful. So why not? If you're going to introduce the social media into the conversation, like I just think it's just so much more interesting to see how the players themselves are going to act. It's not weird. It's not gross. They're not like, we'll talk about other bad uses of social media later today, but this is
a
sweet and charming one. And I am pro this. I trend this. I will retweet both of those tweets.
This is what makes your casual fan or your not fan interested. This is the stuff that's fun. I'm trending this because you need a little fun. Like this isn't like they're getting a fan vote for the Hall of Fame. They're getting a fan vote for the All-Star game. It is what it is.
Right.
It should be a little fun. And like we've seen in the NHL when an entire country votes for a guy, this is great because this means that a bench player who's maybe never going to get any huge accolades, he's a well-liked guy by the players, by the fans, and he can get in.
That's such a great example because the NHL All-Star game is constantly insane. Like, it's just everyone is 1,000 years old. Like, they play 3-3. It's just so weird. And that, I think, every sport needs a little bit
of weirdness. But I do think it makes sense that this year they evened it out a little bit with the fan vote, with the player vote and the media vote in there, too. It's not all fans, but it's enough fans if you do a little Twitter work.
Yeah.
You're in.
I think if Hassan Whiteside has problems with it being a popularity vote, then maybe he's like doing the wrong thing with his life, because in sports, like that is just a natural thing. Maybe smile more or be nicer on social media. The voting is up 142%. So not only is this good for the players, this is good for the sport and the league and the fans. Everyone wins here. So trend. Let's keep retweeting and voting for ourselves.
And like Whiteside, there's other ways that you can get attention. Like you can just go out and have a great game. You know, don't take this so seriously.
If you care about people judging you on your athletic performance, like the All-Star vote is not what this is about. Just play really well. And then later in your career, you can see how people look back on what you did.
Okay, Gemma had the perfect transition to the other side of social media when it doesn't quite play into your favor. And I'm talking to you, Antonio Brown. So after the Steelers beat the Chiefs, he decided during a closed session, no media allowed, he was going to Facebook Live Mike Tomlin's speech. Tomlin obviously had choice words about the Patriots. And as, you know, it is what it is. You know, that's his chance to be a head coach and say what he wants to say and have passion. And I don't think that he said anything with malice.
It was tame. That was a tame speech with a little profanity.
Yeah. So the attention, it's been a really big deal. And Tomlin came out and said it was selfish and inconsiderate and that he's going to be disciplined. But do you think Trender trashed that the social media is a distraction for the Steelers as they're moving to the AFC Championship game?
It's hard to say whether about like, because I have a lot of feelings on this overall of like accessibility of players and et cetera.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that maybe I will trash this specific instance of this social media use.
Okay.
Because Tomlin was not happy about it. And it's ultimately like his team and his speech.
It's an invasion of
his
privacy.
It's invasion of his privacy.
Great point.
However, I do think that there's nothing necessarily wrong with players being their own media. maybe in this circumstance it wasn't the best use of this, but I think, you know, we've seen it in post-game pressers when guys just don't want to answer questions because they think they're dumb, and that's, like, not what they want to talk about. Yeah. If they have
or
a platform,
they're mad because they didn't perform well.
And if they have a platform to address those questions they do want to talk about, I'm not opposed to that. Mm-hmm. So in terms of social media being a distraction, I think it sometimes is counterproductive, like in this circumstance where the story became – because ultimately, what is this? It's like a pep-up speech that's nothing. Like, whether we saw that or not, it doesn't change, like, the course of anyone reporting on this, except for now we're talking about this.
Right.
So trash this specific instance, but I do not think overall that social media is something that is a distraction to players in their sports.
Good point, Jill.
I think it's total trash. Like, why is Brown on his phone when his coach is pepping him up for a playoff game? Get off your phone. Like, stop worrying about what everyone else is thinking. Maybe you should worry about, like, winning that game.
Right.
Playing well. Like, and, like, Antonio Brown, you have teammates that are watching what you're doing. Like, you're not even engaged. It was around the corner. So, like, you're not even, like, in the group listening. There was a ton of players over by Mike Tomlin, and you weren't one of them.
And he's
it's embarrassing.
It's like the little kid who, you know, this year's like, okay, everyone get in line. And he's, like, you know, running around. And
I'm
going to
do what
background.
I want to do.
Yeah. And so we've Total seen that crash. A few times. I mean, Odell Beckham, obviously, in his boat saga, and then look what happened to the Giants. So, you know, it's, I'm not saying that social media led that, but I think in that moment, like, maybe just maybe have the smarts and the attention to be like, okay, this is probably not the best time when my coach is talking about these things. Like, maybe I should pay attention. I love access. I love that players are using that to connect with their fans in certain ways. But, I mean, you got to be smarter than that. And, like, at the end of the day, you got to be smarter than
that. Your head coach does not know that what he's saying is not only that you're recording it on your phone, which you shouldn't be doing, but that you're broadcasting
it
live on Facebook Live. And here's the thing for poor Mike Tomlin. Got a little heat, but, like, it was such a tame speech. He used a few profanities, but it was all to boost up his team. There wasn't any slurs in there. He wasn't degrading anybody.
Right.
And then that blew up. He wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right. But now he kind of looks like a jerk a little bit.
It's unfair to him,
yeah,
really.
That's the nice word I'm using. Okay, we're going to switch gears. So Sports on Earth's Anthony Kashervitz wrote a piece about Jose Bautista. And after all of this hoopla, he is ending up back where he was to start with. In Toronto. There's been so much drama around this. He got a one-year contract with options. He's getting $18 million. He's going to be 36 years old. In the baseball world, he had a down season as far as production goes. But, you know, trend or trash, is he where he is supposed to be?
Trend. He is where he's supposed to be. I think this is probably the best outcome for everyone involved.
Okay.
He's 36. So
ain't getting any younger.
Good deal for him. And it's just been the story of the offseason generally anyways. People stay where they were. It worked for them.
Yeah.
They're on t-shirts, whatever, tattoos. I mean.
No one has to change any merchandise.
Yeah.
They're familiar with what he likes to eat.
I'm not trending this like what now has been almost a full year of what his original demands were.
Yeah.
Whew, but I'm trending that if he wanted to play next year.
Yeah.
I'm trending that he's playing next year and he's staying in Toronto.
That's fair. I mean, I feel like the Blue Jays are they're always trying to make a push, right? They're always trying to compete, which is great. I don't know if they need him to do that. I'm not sure. I'd like to see his numbers go up. I mean, I guess I'm going to trend the fact that after all of this is said and done, he's ending up where he is most comfortable and maybe has the best chance to succeed. I'm not sure. I was sad to see Edwin Encarnacion go. I wonder if they hadn't been dealing with Bautista, if they would have been able to fork up or pay more attention to that deal. I don't know.
For Bautista, like, he broke out with the Blue Jays. And maybe he just had a bad year, but if this is kind of the beginning of the end for Bautista, he should stay in Toronto. He likes Toronto, and they like him.
Yeah.
No matter what, he's always going to have a positive postseason legacy with this team.
Absolutely.
And no one in Toronto's GMs are saying our fans don't like him.
No. Everyone will
remember
him.
Yeah, by they, I meant the fans. The fans like him.
The fans like him. You know, he knows how to put an exclamation mark.
And if this does turn out to be the tail end of his time in Major League Baseball, it's a good place for him to be.
All right, so cheers for you, Jose Bautista. Okay, so we're less than a month away. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. They're spiking up. They're putting their clothes on and doing all those baseball things that happen at spring training, putting their suntan lotion on, all that good stuff.
So they don't wear clothes at any other time.
They don't wear clothes in the offseason. Only put their uniforms on. That's all they wear. Players do not wear anything except their uniform, right?
Yes, it's exactly like that.
That's right. Yep. Okay. Yep. So Jack Peterson is working out in airports. Trey Turner is hitting the gym. Who else do we got? Will Myers is also yesterday on Tuesday. What day is it? The week is, I don't know what's happening to my life. Will Myers got 6 years, $83 million as an extension. So everyone, there's no off season. In the office here in New York, we call it the other season because there's really no off season. It's just the other season. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
So, you know, guys are gearing up. We're trying to gear up. I'm getting ready. I'm getting in shape, too.
Time to do some push-ups in our offices, I guess, inspired by Jock.
We're not going anywhere warm.
Yeah, no.
During our other season.
It's just going to stay cold here.
We'll be in January, and we will work on our dips and our push-ups and our pull-ups.
I mean, Gary Sanchez was around for the Yankees fan weekend making some sandwiches. I could do that for my off-season.
We have to earn our paychecks, too. I mean, these guys are working hard. We got to follow suit. Yeah.
We're here talking, earning our paychecks, something like that. So anyway, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot more coming up. Obviously, NBA voting will be announced. The All-Star game will be announced on Thursday, so we'll know whether Joel Embiid will get it or not, whether or not all his social media hard work paid off. What else? Anything else coming up for you guys?
It's getting real close to spring training. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. We got the NHL All-Star game.
Yes.
All-Star
game.
That's right. So lots of big stuff. So January isn't as sad. Obviously, you've got championship weekend for football as well. And then the Super Bowl is right around the corner, which is always, you know, Lady Gaga.
And then only a month left in our, what is it? In our other season? Two months left in our other season.
And then we'll head into the season. Whatever that means. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in. Goal!